you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Brother Allen said something about a while ago about singing Mary Had a Little Lamb. I started preaching on mamas don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. But I thought, well, I won't. Instead, we'll preach on the mother of the Proverbs this morning. I'm sure this passage of Scripture will be read in a lot of churches today or be quoted from or preached from. It being Mother's Day and all, and we tried to pray and see what the Lord would have us to preach, and it seemed like He just led us to this passage of Scripture. It's a great passage. It's been read many times, and I love the book of Proverbs. I tell you, if you never read the book of Proverbs, you need to get started this afternoon reading through. There's a lot of great instructions for every area of life that you'll come through. And I tell you, if we just had the book of Proverbs and take that book and read it and apply it to our lives, if we didn't have the rest of the Bible, we could live a good life if we'd apply the Word of God to it. But we want to preach from this passage, Lord being our helper this morning, on Mother of Proverbs. You would stand, we'll just read the entire chapter, I believe. The Bible says in Proverbs 31 and verse 1, said, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, and all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Father, we thank you again for your word that you've given us, Lord, the instructions that's in this Bible. Lord, I pray that you'll help us this morning. Lord, as we try to give honor to these mothers, Lord, we thank you for everyone that's represented here, Lord. And God, I pray that you'll just ever give them a good day, Lord, and be with them as they go through this life. Lord, bless them that are being mothers, Lord, and I pray that you'll just help them to be that mother you would be pleased with. Lord, be like this woman of the Proverbs, Lord, and that your will be done in their lives. Lord, we love you and thank you again for the privilege to be here. Lord, I thank you for the visitors. Lord, I pray for those that's listening by way of the webcast. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to go out on the airways and into people's homes. Lord, and I pray that this service will be a blessing. Lord, I pray for those that are sick and afflicted and unable to be here this morning. I pray that You'll touch them and help them, Lord, this morning. Just give them grace and strength. Lord, meet all of their needs. Father, we love You and we thank You again. If there's one here lost today, God, I pray, whether it's a man, woman, boy, or girl, Lord, I pray that this will be the day that they'll realize their need of salvation and call upon You and receive You as their Savior. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to just try to give you just a few things about a mother here out of this book of Proverbs this morning. As already mentioned, this is a great book. I mean, it's got so much instruction. The wisest man in the world, as far as we know, gave us most of the Proverbs that's in here and written. And I believe if the wisest man in the world under the influence of the Holy Spirit penned these words down, it'd do us good to take notice this morning. And we won't just try to preach just a little bit. Lord, help us this morning to you mothers and to others that's sitting here also and those that's on the airways. I didn't make mention, but we appreciate the opportunity to go into folks' homes by the way of the webcast. Appreciate you listening. So we'll look at the mother of the Proverbs. We could have looked at many mothers in the Bible, and I thank God for the examples the Bibles give us. The Bible gives us of mothers. We could have talked about Eunice and Lois and the faithfulness that they had as mothers and grandmother in raising up a young man for God, young Timothy. We could have preached about Jochebed, Moses' mother, and how she, through the leadership of God, and she prepared that little ark and pitched it within and without for the saving of the Israel's deliverer, Moses. We could have spoke about him. We could have spoke about Hannah or any of these precious ladies of the Bible. Many places we could have went and preached a Mother's Day message this morning. But I believe the Lord has directed us here to the book of Proverbs this morning. So let's just look at this lady here for just a little bit here in the book of Proverbs. We see, first of all, as we think about a mother, we see the preciousness of a mother here as we read this chapter here. Verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." We know that a ruby is a very expensive gem, and a lot of effort goes into getting these jewels. And the Bible says here that a mother is, her price is far above rubies, what they would bring far as this world's system goes. But I know, as I look and see a lot of mothers down through the times, and I realize that the preciousness of a mother and what a blessing it is to see those mothers that have filled that position in that place as they go through life and catering to their children, to their husband, and how they take care and look after the needs of a mother. But we see this whole chapter here is loaded with just examples of the preciousness of a godly mother. And we see one first thing we see about the preciousness of a mother is the instructions of a mother there in verses 1 through 9 as it begins. Here's this directed to King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Well, I thank God for some things my mother taught me. And I thank God that He's allowed me to have my mother all these years. And I can remember as a little boy being carried places by my mother. She was always there. I remember that about her. She was never really a working mother when I was growing up, Brother Keith. She was there. She taught me a lot of things. And she tried to keep an eye on us. She took care of her boys. She had three boys. And the instruction of a mother. And thank God for the instructions of a godly mother. They have one desire and one aim, and that's to see their children grow up and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Can I say, mothers, this morning, that's the greatest instruction that you can give your children about their need for a Savior, about the Savior that loved them and was willing to die and shed His blood on Calvary's cross. I mean, we need to teach them while they're little. I mean, when they come forth out of the womb, I mean, is the time to be teaching those children how to live and how to conduct their life, and how the most important thing about in their life, the choice that they'll ever make is trusting Jesus as their Savior. So we see the instruction of a mother here, and I thank God for that instruction. She tells King Lemuel here about what wine will do for him. She tells him what the strong drink will do for a person. Now, she instructs him on the things that are detrimental to his life. And I'm telling you, we need mothers today that'll be godly mothers, first of all. I mean, there's some good mothers, but I'm going to tell you this morning, godly mothers are few and far between. I thank God for those godly mothers. Those mothers that you can see Christ in their life. Those mothers that you can sense the love for their children. Hey, those mothers that are always there for that child. So we see the instructions of a mother. We see the inspiration for a mother. Verses 10 through 31. As the Scripture gives us the inspiration and how she inspires the lives of others. A godly mother will touch lives of others. Did you know that? Whether it's her husband. I mean, the Proverbs warns about the evils of this world, and it warns about the lewd women of the world, and it warns about how it is there in chapter, I was reading this morning, chapter 21, I believe it is, in verse 9. He said, it's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Who wants to be around a brawling woman? Somebody's always complaining. Them children know how it is at home. They know who's in charge. They know who's always fussing. They know who's always brawling. And it says in verse 19, it's better to dwell in a wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. I've always said this, mothers, don't take no offense. There ain't nothing worse than a mean woman. A mean man can't hold a light to a mean woman. You might as well shake your head. That's right. You read the news. If you ever find a woman that's wicked and it's mean and it's evil, you better stay away from them. They'll kill you. They'll feed you rat poison or antifreeze. Hey, I know some that's done it, and they smile the whole time they're doing it. 25, verse 24 said again, this is the second time, said it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. The inspiration for a mother, verses 10 through 31, we'll not get into all that. The involvement of a mother, verses 2 through the remainder of the chapters, you read of the involvement of a mother with the life of her children, of her husband, of those that she comes into contact, her neighbors, her friends, the needy. She's involved. And I'm going to tell you, the right kind of mother will be involved in the lives of their children. They'll be concerned about their education. My mother was always concerned about my education. I didn't understand. My wife has always been concerned about the education of our children. She pushed them. She watched and she knew. She was on top of things. My wife was a disciplinarian. Boy, I'm telling you, she took care of things at home when I wasn't there. And them kids knew she would. The involvement of a mother, they're involved in the lives of their children. They're involved in the lives of at church. Thank God for godly mothers at the house of God that'll fill that position of a mother and what she should be. The involvement of a mother, even from the birth of their child. There in verse 2, the Bible says, what, my son, and what, the son of my womb? You know where the most dangerous place in America is today? It's in the womb of a mother. We're killing millions of babies every year. And there's no safety, no sure sign of safety in the womb of a mother, because I'm going to tell you, they think that those children are going to complicate their lives, and they want to get rid of them. They want to have the pleasure to get to that point, but then they don't think anything about snuffing the life out of a child in the womb. This controversy about where does life begin? Life begins at conception. I have no doubt in my mind about that, and in my heart. But the involvement of a child in birth, A child is something that's sacred even before birth. My wife, when she first found out that she was expecting with Stephanie, she started right then learning all she could. She read books. She already knowed how to care for babies. When she was little, every time you see a picture, a lot of times Debbie always had a baby on her hip. She just always loved babies. She was just natural with them. There was no question whether she was going to have that baby or not. Even when it was in her womb, she would have gave her life to bring that child forth into this world. The involvement of a mother in the birth, in the vows there in verse 2. They said, "And what, the son of my vows?" There ought to be some vows before God that, "Lord, if you give me this child, or since I'm with child, I'm going to take care of this child." The involvement of at birth, the involvement of the vows, and the involvement in the training. It takes involvement. We live in a day when everybody works just about. And those babies, first place they go is after that 6 weeks, usually goes to the babysitter. And that's who raises them. You can get in trouble preaching on this. Because we got to have things. You know, we don't want to stay at home and take care of our children. We're living in a world that's complicated today. It's expensive to live, and about everybody works. The Bible tells us for the ladies to be chaste and keepers at home. I'll just have to preach it. My wife has worked. But I found out some things back as I look back in life about the time that she went to work, she really should have been at home when them kids come in from school every day. They ought to have a mother to come home to. They ought to have a mother that they know when they get off the bus that mom is going to be there. Because I'm going to tell you, kids need overseeing. And they need overseeing by a parent. Because nobody cares for a child like a parent does. And nobody cares for a child like a mother. Even the dad. I mean, he cares and he loves that child. But I'm going to tell you, hey, that mother, she'll hover over those children. If she's got the right kind of love in her heart and the right kind of affection for that child, she'll be involved in the training of that child. And that's what's wrong today. Moms are not involved. We wonder what's the matter with the world. Look at the home. The preciousness of a mother. Said, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." That virtuous, that means having or characterized by moral virtue, chaste. That word precious here that I come up with, that preciousness of a mother, word precious is of great price or value, costly. The price is far above rubies. Precious. We see not only the preciousness of a mother this morning, but we see the prudence of a mother in verses 11, 12, and 28. Prudence, that word just simply means exercising sound judgment in practical matters, cautious in conduct. The prudence of a mother. Verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Boy, it's a blessing to have a woman that you can trust, a wife that you can trust. Hey, children, it's a blessing to have a mother that you can trust to be a mother. So many ladies today and women have went to work and they've gotten put themselves in compromising situations and they weren't prudent in their conduct. And I'm going to tell you, that's why there's so much divorce rate across the land today. The Bible tells the ladies to be subject unto their own husbands, Brother Keith. We find a lot of times that women and mothers don't want to be subject unto their own husbands, but they don't have a problem going to the workplace and being subject to someone else's husband. There's something wrong with that picture this morning. Well, there ain't no man going to tell me what to do. Bless God. He's not my boss. Well, you go to work and you do what that man tells you to do. So what's the problem of falling under the umbrella of protection that God has placed over your life under the headship of your husband? The prudence of a mother toward her husband. Verse 12 says, she'll do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. Thank God for women that are faithful. They're trustworthy. They're prudent toward her husband. She has his respect. And I promise you, ladies, if you'll fulfill your obligation, then that husband right with God, he'll fulfill his obligation. He'll protect you. He'll look after you. He'll provide for you to the best of his ability. Now, we all fail. I'm a miserable in this area, and a lot of times, I'll just be honest with you, but I try. I get short sometimes. Get under pressure. We all do. We get short. We get sharp. We get stagnant sometimes in fulfilling our relationship and our obligation. But we see the prudence of a mother toward her husband, his respect, his reputation. She's concerned about the reputation of her husband. Some mothers that are wives and mothers, they're not concerned about their husband's reputation. They're concerned about their feelings. They're concerned about the having a good time theirself. And there's a lot of them because of their actions has brought a reproach upon the reputation of their husband. They're loose. Can I just be honest? They're loose. They go to work and they get to siling up to someone else's husband and they get to talking. And next thing you know, when they get to talking, then they've brought reproach upon their marriage. They brought reproach upon their husband's reputation. She's prudent toward her husband, toward her children. She's concerned about her children. The Bible says in verse 28, said, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. And then also it talks about her household there. Everyone that's involved in her household. So she's prudent in these areas. We see not only the preciousness of a mother, the prudence of a mother, but we see the provision of a mother. Verses 13 through 22. Can I say that she's industrious? She's not lazy? You know, we might not have the nicest house in the world, but we can have a clean house. Hey, we can have food on the table. We can learn to cook. We can learn to clean the kids up and put clean clothes on them. There's one thing my mother always, we didn't have nice clothes. We probably wore what they call cat head brands. Is that? We didn't wear the name brand clothes, but I'm going to tell you, our clothes were ironed. They were clean. And we were always neat, had shoes on our feet. No lady ought to be lazy. Kids ought not have to live in a mess. Say, well, they just mess up. Well, teach them not to mess up. See, that's where a mother, that's where she instructs. She instructs those kids how to do things, how to take care of their room, how to put their clothes in the dirty clothes, and then she keeps them washed. She keeps them ironed until they get old enough to take care of themselves, and then, hey, girls, you ought to help mom take care of the clothes then. When you get up big enough, start learning. Bob does say for the older ladies to teach the younger women. That's what's wrong. We're not having no instruction time in our lives anymore. And kids don't, their moms are going off to work. They don't get that instruction. They have no responsibilities. They just have everything handed to them. We think if we can give them money and we can provide entertainment for them that we've done our part. Well, that's not it. That other part that we're leaving undone is the most important part. And that's why we're in a mess today. The provision of mother, she's industrious. She's not lazy. Just take care of things. Thank God, I know mothers have to work. I ain't fussing on nobody's having work. But I'm just telling where we're missing it. Can I say she's sacrificial? A mother, the provision of a mother, she is sacrificial. She sacrifices things for herself, that her family, that her children might have. She's not only industrious and sacrificial, but she's wise. Verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it. She's wise with the money that the husband brings home, with the money that she has to buy things with. Sounds to me like this one. She's wise enough to consider a field out here and go out and look at it and use good sense in purchasing that field. She's sacrificial. She's wise. She's wise in her purchases. Or do we just flippantly spend money? Is that why we're in tights a lot of times? Because we just spend money on things we don't need to impress people that we don't like? To have things that we just pile up? What was it? Somebody was saying something about a little house being piled up with so much stuff. I said, no matter what size of house you got, the bigger the house, the more things you can have piled up in it. Because we buy things. She's wise. Can I say she's strong physically? Hey, you watch your mothers tote them babies around on their hips. I'm telling you. Us men grab one up and then it ain't long, but we're wondering how in the world she tote that kid around all the time. That thing's a chunk. But she's strong physically. Verse 17 says, she girdeth her loins with strength. You know, it takes strength to take care of children. I got a friend. He's a county marshal, and he's told me stories about his mother, a little bitty woman that raised all them boys. Surely she was a virtuous woman. My daughter-in-law was talking yesterday, says she went to the funeral and when this lady died, and the things that was said about her, you know, said it was a celebration of her life. Andre told me many stories about his mother and how she made them big boys walk the line. But did you know every one of those boys are successful today? They got college educations. One's a county marshal. One's a Baptist preacher. And he had a good job in the government. And then another one, he's, I believe, right under the sheriff. But he said she smacked them, man. She wouldn't take nothing off them big old boys. Hey, they knew who the boss was. She was physically capable of fulfilling the role as a mother. The provision of a mother. She's strong. She's wise. She's sacrificial. She's industrious. Then we see the perception of a mother there in verse 18. It says, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. The perception of a mother. She's cautious in her spending. I've already mentioned that. She's careful in her walk. I've mentioned a little bit about that. But then, can I say she's conscious of the needs of others? Verse 20 says, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. I talked about her involvement. She's involved in the community. She notices those that are in need. She cares about others. Her perception. I'm going to tell you, it's good to have and have a conscious need of others and it not just be all about us all the time. I believe God will bless us in that realm if we branch out in our care for others. She's conscious of the needs of her family. Verse 21 and 22 says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's conscious of the needs of her family, and she's covered in her dress. Verse 22. She's a mother that covers her nakedness. She's a mother that covers her children. She makes sure they're dressed right when they go out into this world and out into the cold, if you want to get just for the weather's sake. I mean, she makes sure that her children are warm, but she also makes sure that they're modest. We wonder why our kids get in a mess sometimes with the opposite sex is because of the immodesty a lot of times. We're living in an immodest world. If you haven't noticed already, it's been warm just a few days, and I've seen so much immodesty that it's not even funny. People have lost their power to blush in this day and hour that we're living in. She's covered in her dress. We have mothers today that are trying to be teenagers. They want to be their daughter's friend instead of their mother. They don't need a friend. They need a mother. Be a mother first, then a friend. The perception of a mother. She perceives what her children need. She perceives what her community needs. She perceives what her husband's needs are. And then we see, lastly, the praise of a mother, verses 28 through 31, said, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Boy, I'm telling you what, there's nothing that a lady ought to desire, a mother ought to desire, is the praise of her husband and children. Not because of being loose and liberal, but because she's the mother that has stood and that's filled that gap and has filled that position of a mother and met the needs of those children. I thank God for my mother this morning. She's 88 years old. I couldn't have asked for a better mother. She was always concerned about where her boys was, what her boys were doing. She'd tell girls right quick that they shouldn't be calling her boys, Brother Chris. How embarrassing for a son. But she was from old school. And that's the way it used to be. Nothing wrong with that. It's the way it ought to still be. But we're living in a loose society today. Some of you ladies would have probably got a whooping, not a whipping, a whooping, if your mother had have found out that you'd called a boy. The praise of a mother. Can I say, well, that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to preach to mothers, but we're trying to praise them for the job that they're doing. I thank God for godly mothers. There's nothing greater in this world than a godly mother. A lot of good mothers. Not a lot of godly mothers today. And that's why we need to praise her. We need to tell her that we love her. We need to tell her that we appreciate the sacrifice that she gives, how she looks after us, how she spends her time sacrificing that you might have the things that you have, that you might have the clothes that you have, that you might have the food to eat that you eat. I promise you, if there's a last piece of cake, a mother or a wife's going to sacrifice that, she's going to give it to that husband or she's going to give it to those children. if she's the kind of mother that this Bible talks about here in the book of Proverbs. Thank God for the mother of the Proverbs. That's the best pattern that I know that a mother could use in her life is Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Thank God for mothers. The most important thing is for a mother to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If mother don't read this Bible, she ain't going to know how to be a mother. And I've already mentioned, there's many examples of good godly mothers, but I can't find a better pattern than Proverbs 31 this morning. Thank God for you mothers, and we appreciate each and every one of you for the sacrifice that you give for your children, for your family, for your church, for your community, for your country. Thank God for godly mothers this morning that love God. And young people, one of these days, as time progresses, if everything works according as it should work, you're going to meet someone. Boys are going to meet some young lady. You ought to pray that God will give you a godly mate, that if God sees fit to bless you with children, that she'll be a mother that'll love her children. And you girls, you ought to pray that God will give you a husband that'll be godly and it'll be that example. And if you ever get the opportunity to be a mother, be a mother. Be the right kind of mother. Love your children. Never be guilty of taking the life of an innocent child in your womb. You'd be surprised how many kids has went through independent Baptist churches that have committed abortions across this land because they got messed up. The best way not to get in that situation, don't get messed up. Protect that God's given you. Save it. And then when you get to that point and you bring children into this world, you can be a prudent mother. You can be honest. Said, I tried to keep myself clean. I've tried to keep myself pure for my husband, for my children, that they'd be well spoken of, and that we could rise up and call her blessed.